Let me extend a warm welcome, everyone here in Chanhassen, to the many who are tuning in online. It's great to see you. And I just want to encourage you with this before I begin. We had a special Sunday, last Sunday across all of our campuses, as we took a service to honor Pastor Joel and Carrie for 30 years of faithful service to Westwood. Now, Pastor Joel remains as our senior pastor, and he'll make a formal transition into his founding pastor role sometime early next year. But can I encourage you, firstly, if you missed that service and you just weren't available, go back online and you could view it there. But really, maybe more importantly, I want you to make it a point. We had a reception afterwards. In fact, Pastor Joel this Sunday is over at our Bush Lake campus. They're doing a reception following their service. He's going to be at our West Tonka campus on the 30th doing a follow-up there. But we had people, many of you, I just want to say thank you for those of you that came. We had a little receiving line out here. It started at 11:30. It got done at 3:30. So people came. And they just wanted to give him a hug or a high five, shake his hand, tell him a story. And you may have something that has happened in your life as a part of this church. And I think one of the ways that we honor, one of the ways that we celebrate the goodness, it's a Tov year for us. I want you to do your best to express that to Pastor Joel and Carrie. It could be when they're here for a Sunday service in a couple of weeks. You could write him a card. You could send him an email. He's going to fill up that Tov journal. You remember we gave everyone a Tov journal at the beginning of the year with all the beautiful stories of God's goodness through this church. And most of that, if not all of that, happens in and through you. So just an encouragement that I want to give you. If you missed last week or if you still have not had a chance to express just what him and Carrie have meant to you over these last 30 years, I'm going to encourage you to do so before the end of this year wraps up. And so because we had that celebration last week, unsurprisingly, we took a break, a little pause from our series on the book of Galatians, and we're going to pick that right back up this Sunday. And we're in the latter half already. We're in the latter half of chapter 5 of this impassioned letter, and we're going to wrap up this particular series in two Sundays. So Pastor Ben Griffin will preach next Sunday, then Joel will wrap it up two Sundays after that. And then Eric, who hosted today's service, he mentioned this already, but then two Sundays after that, you know what comes? Christmas. And some of you love it. And others of you who maybe are like me are saying, come on, we haven't even had Thanksgiving yet. Why are we talking about Christmas? In fact, Thanksgiving's on our mind for sure because we are hosting Thanksgiving dinner again this year at our home in Chanhassen. We've got 31 people at our house. 16 of them are under 10 years old. So I'm making more chicken nuggets than I am turkey this year. And, you know, because of that, you kind of empathize with me with this. I feel like I'm living in two worlds right now, a world where there's both pumpkins and Christmas trees all around me. And I can tell we've been using this image of the teeter-totter, right, to describe the experience of the Galatians. I feel like our family is teetering right now because I'm holding on to the Thanksgiving spirit because I love the hosting and I love the food and I love just that. It was my mom's favorite holiday, so it's a special one for me. But my wife, she is well into the Christmas spirit. And our kids, unsurprisingly, are in Team Christmas, too. They've got their wish lists in hand. In fact, I don't know if any of you received this, but we got an Amazon gift catalog in the mail. And before I could get it, the kids got it. And they returned it back to me with almost every item circled in the catalog. They're thinking, yeah, all these things are going to be under the tree for sure come Christmas morning. And so here I am. Here we are, two worlds. Fall and winter, Thanksgiving and Christmas, they're upon us. And they push and they kind of pull for our attention. And this upcoming week, we're going to feel the teeter as Thursday rolls into Black Friday and into the weekend. And so again, maybe how fitting it is that the teeter-totter has been the image that has helped us through this series describe the experience of these Galatians. They've been teetering since we've started this letter, between two worlds. For them, not between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but between two worldviews, of what it means to be right with God. And so as we pick up Paul's words to them, again, now in Galatians 5, we're going to see that the teeter-totter for them, just like it is going to be for us this week, it's reaching a tipping point. And so here we are, Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. I'll encourage you, if you have a Bible, whether old school or new school, on your phones, you can follow along with me. And we're going to hear Paul's impassioned plea for this early group of Christians. He just keeps going. He's full of passion. And he does not want them to live in a false gospel. He wants them to embrace the gospel truth that they are saved by grace alone, not by their works. And so again, I'm reading here from the New Living Translation this Sunday, and you may have a different translation, which I'll share a few thoughts about some differences you may see as we read Galatians 5, 16 through 26, 10 verses. Paul writes, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the spiritual, or excuse me, what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's lead in every part of our lives. Verse 26, and let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another." Wow, there's a lot there. 10 verses. But can you see the teeter-totter? I think it's pretty clear there. Paul is saying throughout these 10 verses that there are two forces, two desires, two worlds, spirit and sin. And we, you, are caught in between them. Now, if you were reading a different translation than I was there, you may have noticed that the NLT uses this word sinful nature. And some of you may see the English word flesh in your translations. Now, that word flesh in some translations is a gloss for a Greek word called sarx, S, if you transliterate it into English letters, S-A-R-X. And sarx is an interesting word because in the ancient Greek language, it usually is used to describe or to convey your physical body. Literally, your flesh and your bones. But I don't believe that's how Paul is using it here, or really anywhere in his letters in the New Testament, when he talks about a spiritual battle that's happening within us. Paul is using this Greek word sarx. When he's using it, he's not talking about the body as something that's inherently bad. What he's talking about is maybe a power or a pull or a bent that's inside every single human being that kind of reaches all the way back to the fall of humanity in Genesis 3. Let me just show this to you again. Here again, Paul's words in verse 17. So he says the sinful nature, here again is that Greek word sarx, again, some of your translations say flesh, wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are, again, the opposite of what the sinful nature, there's that Greek word again, sarx, desires. These two forces are constantly fighting. And when I read that, I thought, boy, that describes my house a little bit too with all these young kids. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So again, Paul is saying that inside every Christian, there are two desires, two voices, two gravitational pulls. There's an inner tug of war. There's a spiritual teeter-totter. And on one side, sarx. And on the opposite side, spirit. The Holy Spirit, in fact. And the Holy Spirit, let me just remind you, is not an idea. The Holy Spirit is God himself. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and he dwells within you. He's working within you. He's forming you to be in the image and in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And in creation, you know, just to paint a picture of the Holy Spirit for you, in creation, the Holy Spirit, Genesis 1, he hovers over the waters right before the chaos of our world becomes order. In all throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers kings and prophets and even some ordinary people to do extraordinary things for God. As we get toward the Gospels, the Holy Spirit is the one who descends on Jesus like a dove at his baptism and fills him for the ministry that's ahead. As we get to the book of Acts and in the early church, we see that the Holy Spirit is the one who unleashes the church, the one who breaks open prison doors, the one who fills discouraged believers with courage, and the one who brings dead hearts to life. And as we get to Galatians 5, Paul says that it's that same Holy Spirit who's in a fight that's actually happening inside of you. So it begs the question, have you ever been in a fight? Now, I don't necessarily mean a fist fight, although some of you may have experiences like that. But how many know most fights in our lives don't need fists? Some of you right now, or you have, or you know someone who's fighting cancer, or depression, or anxiety. Or some of you may have just had a fight with your loved one. Couldn't even been in the parking lot. And you know this, what left hurting wasn't your body, but it was your heart. A fight is not something that's foreign to our human experience. It's what I'm trying to get at as I list those common things that happen to us. And Paul is saying right here that there is now another fight that's happening inside of you, between our flesh and the spirit. And let me just encourage you that that struggle is evidence that the Holy Spirit is working. The same spirit, mind you, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work within you, helping you teeter closer and closer toward the life that God intends for you. But sometimes, if we're honest, this happens. The sinful nature can win a battle or two or even three. And as Paul continues, he says, here's what can start to happen, what can start to show up in your life when the sinful nature goes on a winning streak and you start to teeter in the opposite direction. And I'm just going to read this list again because it's just so vivid. 15 things Paul lists that can show up. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other things like these. I mean, that's a pretty sobering list, especially I think when you think about the juxtaposition. Things like sorcery sit right beside jealousy, dissension, right next to wild parties. Some of your translations actually use the word orgies. In other words, this list is organized in such a way, I think maybe very intentionally by Paul, where it starts to become pretty difficult to just dismiss it all as the behavior of a totally depraved person. Because when our sin nature can go on a winning streak, these are exactly the things that start to surface in our lives. And it's why I'm convinced that Paul isn't using that Greek word sarx just to talk about bodily sin. Yes, some of those things for sure show up in our bodies, but look closely. These are ultimately matters of the heart. Anger, selfish ambition, jealousy, lustful pleasures. These are symptoms of an inner drift. This is the fruit of a life where the sinful nature seems to have the upper hand in that inner tug of war, where the spiritual teeter-totter has tipped far away from the Holy Spirit. And there's a truth in all of this that I really don't want us to miss, because Paul is inviting his readers back then, just as he has inviting us now, to pay attention to what's happening on the outside of our lives so that we can discern what's happening on the inside. He's saying, if you look at the fruit, you're going to learn something about the root. Or maybe for our sticky statement for today, you know me, if I preach, I love to give you one maybe sentence or two to remember this message by, and that's this: the fruit is in the root. The fruit is in the root. Now, I've been thinking a lot about trees lately, which is where this sticky statement came from. And it's mostly because I'm finally admitting that I have some serious tree work to do around our house. And we've got these beautiful, mature trees all around our home in Chanhassen, and it feels like almost every single one of them needs some kind of attention. There's an ash tree that needs treatment so the borers don't destroy it. There's two pretty massive trees in our backyard, and the branches, I think, are starting to hang over the house, over the roof. And then there's one tree right on the edge of our property that died this past year. And when I asked, you know, why did this tree die? The answer surprised me. Competing root systems. Somewhere beneath the surface, deeper than anything I could really see, two root systems were fighting for dominance. There was an older, shallower root system that was spreading out, and it was choking off space and cutting off nutrients. And at the same time, there was this newer root system that was trying to grow deeper. It was trying to stabilize the tree. It was trying to pull in the water and the nutrients for that tree to thrive. But the shallow roots won, and the tree lost. Can you see the connection? This, I think, is exactly what Paul is describing in Galatians. Two root systems are fighting, and two lives are teetering. One old, one new. One shallow, one deep. One that pulls us toward instability and even death. One that, if we let it take hold, brings life and life abundant. The fruit is in the root. And before we look more closely at the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit, Paul says something, again, pretty sobering at the end of verse 21 that I just want to unpack. He says this. He says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life, describing those 15 vices we just saw, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know if this did this to you. It did this to me. That hit me like a ton of bricks. Because it makes me wonder, you might be wondering the same thing, does that mean that I have to be perfect to be accepted by God? Now, if you've been with us for any part of this series, you'll know as we've been going through Galatians, Paul is saying again and again and again, look, the gospel truth is that you are saved by grace through faith. It's God's free gift to you. All you have to do is believe in Jesus, that he lived, that he died, that he rose again, paving the way for your sin to be forgiven as our divine sacrifice. And when we say yes to this gospel truth, we become a new creation and we receive another gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And our lives have the potential to teeter more and more toward God. And so what I think Paul is saying here is if you're going to unrelentingly feed the flesh, and if the flesh is just going to go on an undefeated winning streak in your life, if you just keep teetering farther and farther away from the Holy Spirit, do you really think you're going to inherit the kingdom of God now? Do you really think you're honoring God's gracious free gift of salvation to you? Paul said it clearly just a few verses earlier. He says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants to do. And so again, the fruit is in the root. And let me just say, I don't want you to see that list of sins, that list of vices as something that should beat you up. I think what Paul is trying to do here is he's trying to help us notice, is there spoiled fruit on the branches of my life? I think what he's trying to do is draw our attention to ask the question, what root system is feeding me? Maybe before it's too late. Kind of like that tree on the edge of my property line. And so if that earlier maybe laundry list of sin, the anger, the jealousy, the selfish ambition, the impurity, if that's the spoiled fruit in a life that's maybe too far rooted in sin, then what does it look like when the Spirit starts to go on a winning streak in your life? What's the evidence that a new root system is taking hold, that the teeter-totter is now tipping further toward the Spirit of God? Well, Paul doesn't leave us guessing about that. He actually paints that picture in pretty stunning clarity. Very famous verses of the Bible, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we call it the fruit of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I love that last line. There is no law against these things. Some translations, you may see it say, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, when you live by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer living under the crushing pressure that you have to manufacture your own acceptability before God. You are no longer anxiously trying to prove yourself worthy to Him. You are no longer condemned to live a life of spiritual self-performance. Instead, you see another powerful truth that Paul is sharing, and that's this, that fruit is not the result of willpower. Fruit is the result of root power. In other words, and we all know this, you don't become more loving by gritting your teeth. You don't become more patient by clenching your fists. You don't become more joyful by just trying to be more joyful today. No, you grow fruit by staying rooted in the Holy Spirit. You grow fruit by being present with God. You grow fruit by letting the Holy Spirit nourish you, shape you, strengthen you from the inside out. And as you remain close to God, you'll find that love will start to soften you in moments when anger used to control you. You'll find that joy starts to lift your spirit in situations that used to bury you. You'll see that peace settles in your heart in storms that once shook you apart. That patience steadies you. Kindness flows from you. You'll start to see goodness all around you. That's not you just being better. That's the Spirit winning inside of you. That's the new root system taking hold. That's your inner life teetering more toward God. The fruit is in the root. And so if you look at your life and you're saying, boy, I just wish I had more love. The invitation is to get rooted. Or maybe you say, I want more peace. Get rooted. Gentleness? Get rooted. If you want more self-control, get rooted. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes some intentionality, choosing to be with God, paying attention to what's coming out of you. It's why Paul, I think, ends this section with these words in Galatians 5, 24 and 25. He says this, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature on his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Paul is saying, yeah, this is a fight, but it's a fight that you can engage with confidence because Christ has already won the battle. So lean into that victory. Teeter toward his goodness, his grace, his power, his life in you. And if crucifying the flesh, to use Paul's language there, if that is like cutting off the old root system, then walking by the Spirit is letting that new root system feed every part of who you are. Every part. Your parenting, your grandparenting, your marriage, your work, your retirement, your dreams, your anxieties, everything. So let me ask you a question. What's the fruit of your life look like? Not just in a moment, but over the last week. Or how about through this past year? Would you describe it as spirit fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, those nine indicators Paul lists that keep showing up if you're rooting yourself in the Spirit and having that Holy Spirit take up residence in your heart. Or if you look at your life, does it look like flesh fruit, sarks fruit, lust, anger, jealousy, selfishness? And if that's the case, as hard as sometimes it can be to admit, does that mean that the old root system within you is what's getting more water and sunlight, more of your attention, more of your affection? And some of you could walk away from this thinking that you're spiritually failing. But can I just encourage you? Truly, can I encourage you? God has already won the battle. God is still working in you and for you and through you. And you're gentler today than you were a year ago. You're more patient with your spouse than you were a month ago. You're maybe less reactive with your kids than a week ago. Remember, this is a long fight. And for those of us in Christ Jesus, the Spirit is winning and will win within you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, one more tree illustration, if I may. And you're probably never going to look at trees the same after this message. But how many of you went to an apple orchard this year? Any of you went to? Okay, wow, a lot of hands. Good. Our family actually didn't make it out to one, which is kind of sad with young kids in tow. But at an apple orchard, there are lots of different apple trees. And they're all planted, for the most part, in the same soil. So two trees can grow in the exact same soil, and one produces sweet apples, and another tree, could just be even a few yards away, produces bitter crab apples. Same orchard, same sun, same rain, same environment. What's the difference? The root. The fruit is in the root. Say it with me. The fruit is in the root, which means two people can sit in the same worship service, hear the same sermon, listen to the same songs, and respond differently. The fruit is in the root. And again, my aim in surfacing that is not to shame or heap guilt on anyone here, especially as we enter into Thanksgiving week. But the truth is, there is a fight within you. between Sarks and Spirit. And the Spirit wants to guide your life into all truth and righteousness, which means you have a choice today, every day, every hour, every moment, to stay rooted in the depth of the Spirit, to pay attention to the fruit of your life, to notice which nature is on a winning streak. This is Paul's impassioned plea to those Galatians 2,000 years ago. It's his same plea to us today. And so as we close this service, I want to give us a chance to align our hearts with the Spirit and let him lead us. And one of the places I believe the Holy Spirit often leads us is toward open-handed living. Because what the flesh tends to do is tighten its grip, but what the Spirit wants to do is loosen up. In fact, we like to say at Westwood that we live with open hands. It's a posture to allow the new root system to take hold in your life, to take up residence in your heart. And living with open hands is realizing everything we have comes from God. And so with one hand, we live ready to receive everything God wants to give us. All those fruit of the Spirit that Paul listed, talents, resources, grace upon grace. And with the other hand, we live open too because we say we want to be like God and be givers, joyfully sharing with others from what we have first received. And so I'm going to do something that's going to tug your heart. And I just pray it tugs toward the Holy Spirit. And we're going to take a spontaneous offering. And let me just say, this isn't about manipulation. I'm not trying to do any gotchas here. It's not about any pressure. The scriptures say that we give not out of pressure or compulsion, but out of joy in our heart. This is simply an opportunity to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Truly. To let the new root system that's within you take hold. To teeter more toward God and His Holy Spirit. To practice generosity as we head into a week filled with gratitude. And so I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward, and we're going to pass the plate. And if you're online or if you want to give digitally, you could use the prompts there. But again, let me be clear. This is not a requirement. The doors are open. They're not locked back there. This is an invitation for you to respond as God leads you. So may the Spirit move within you. May the fruit of the Spirit well up inside of you. May the new root system that God has for you take root in this moment. And may this be an opportunity for you to live out your salvation, for you to bless our church, for you to align your heart to the open-handed generosity of a God who's at work in you and for you and through you. The fruit is in the root. And so as we head into a week of Thanksgiving, let's start off on the right root, if you will, and give. And give unto the Lord in gratitude. Let me pray for you, and then our ushers will pass this plate. And we're going to sing as well. So let's pray. Lord, grateful, truly, that we get to be part of your church. And we get to see our very lives, what's happening on the inside, based on the fruit that's on the outside. And Lord, I pray right now, that any spirit of concern, it would just be quieted. That there would be the fruit of the Spirit welling up inside of us. And would you just be loud in our ears, Lord? No one's pressured to do anything here but to respond. And may we respond in grace because you've given that abundantly to us. The Holy Spirit is winning in our lives. May we just believe that and take hold of that and say thank you this Thanksgiving for the Holy Spirit within us. In Jesus' name, amen.